Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up before the weekend with all the news you should know about. We've got an update on the state budget today, which has missed its deadline by more than a week now. And it's farmers market season here in Northeast Pennsylvania, here where to find fresh produce this summer. It's Friday, July 10th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start with some local politics. A Democratic congressional candidate wants major reforms in the way Congress operates. WVIA's Boris Krawchenyuk reports on the anti-corruption plan that Paige Cognetti unveiled on Thursday.
Democratic congressional candidate Paige Cognetti unveiled an anti-corruption reform plan Thursday that she plans to push if she's elected to Congress. It's the Scranton mayor's latest effort to turn corruption into a leading issue as she seeks to unseat first-term Republican U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan. Advocates have pressed for most of the reform ideas for years and some for decades with little or no success. Speaking at a South Scranton Union Hall, Cognetti said the nation is ready for their adoption.
I think that we can push through some of these things in a new Congress because America is so sick and tired of this. I think our nation in this Congress that has just really abdicated their responsibilities in so many ways and made money for themselves on it, I think this is a moment where the American people are so sick of it that these types of reforms really can go through.
The plan includes banning congressmen from trading stocks or serving on corporate boards while in office. They also couldn't accept corporate political action committee donations or lobby Congress after they leave it. It also limits service in Congress or on the Supreme Court to 18 years. Cognetti said she knows convincing other members to adopt the measures will take time.
So even though something like term limits, of course, an extraordinary lift, I think there are folks on both sides of the aisle that understand that this is something that we need to work towards.
Reporting from Scranton, I'm Boris Krawchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. And Bresnahan campaign spokeswoman Samantha Bullock called Cognetti, quote, as corrupt as they come in response. She also said Bresnahan has signed on to banning stock trades and to term limits and refused his pay when the government was shut down. Find the full story at WVIA.org. Now on to the state budget. Pennsylvania's divided government has yet to agree on a spending plan, making this the fifth state budget impasse in a row. For WVIA, Haley O'Brien has an update more than a week after the budget's due date.
It's quiet at the Capitol. Both the House and the Senate adjourned last week. Senator Dave Argel from Schuylkill County said he's waiting to be called back for a vote.
In my mind, the sooner the better, but we need to see the numbers and then, you know, proceed accordingly.
The House approved Governor Shapiro's spending plan in April. The Republican-controlled Senate is now working on an agreement. State Representative Pete Schweier from the Lehigh Valley does not predict this impasse will go as long as last year's.
I know that we're making good progress. I know that everybody wants to get a quality budget done as quickly as possible. It feels, you know, like there's a little bit more of a spirit of compromise, perhaps, or a spirit of let's get this done.
Shapiro expressed frustration that the Senate adjourned on the day the budget was due. Senate leaders say they're in constant conversations. In Harrisburg, I'm Haley O'Brien.
Thanks, Haley. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to WVIA.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. So, like I mentioned, it's farmers market season here in Northeast Pennsylvania. Farmers markets across the region are now open. WBIA's Sydney Alibaugh reports from the first day of the Pittston Farmers Market.
The Pittston City Farmers Market opened on Tuesday. It brings fresh produce like snap peas, spinach, and peaches directly from farms to consumers.
These peaches were picked yesterday. They're brought to market this morning. They were chilled in the cooler overnight, and somebody will be eating them this afternoon at home, you know.
That was Logan Brace. He's the co-owner of Brace's Orchard in Dallas. Farmers say plants were stressed from dry conditions and extreme heat, but are expected to prosper soon.
With this moisture now and a return, you know, to more, you know, average tips, things should really take off and grow.
That was Harold Gollum of Gollum's Farm and Greenhouses in Plains Township. The market also offers local meat, honey, and baked goods. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program funds are accepted for eligible items at the market. Nutrition educator Rachel Ravinsky says the farmers market makes it easy to get healthy, nutrient-dense foods.
So there's just so many farmers here in one location, so it just makes it so affordable and accessible.
The Pittston City Farmers Market will continue every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. through November 24th at 71 South Main Street. In Pittston, I'm Sydney Alibaugh, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sydney, for that story. Look for information on more farmers markets across the region in the full story at WVIA.org. And now it's Friday, so that means it's time for Community Connection with WBIA's Lisa Mazzarella.
Our Community Connection is in Luzerne County, where the Youth Enrichment Project brings families together through programs and services. Founders and siblings Kellyanne Kenny and Nate Arnone discuss how the nonprofit came to be and where it's headed. Nate Arnone takes the story from here.
The Youth Enrichment Project started out as we were just serving children. And since we kind of decided to do that, we've grown into an agency that is now serving the community and serving families and really looking at how we could go into our communities and impact people's lives and change them. Our programs initially were for children, and we still do that. We help kids get involved in sports and dance and things like that. We have our pantry, which is after hours on the weekends, just to meet people where they're at, people who are working who maybe don't have easy access to it. And then we have our program that serves individuals with disabilities, get involved in the community, and really get the skills that they need to be independent in their lives.
Now, you are brother and sister, and you're young, and you started a nonprofit organization. Kelly, tell me the reason why you decided to do this.
It was actually during COVID time. And at the time, we noticed that families weren't able to afford, like, getting the kids to, like, football or soccer or dance or any type of extracurricular activity. So we saw a need. We decided to start the Youth Enrichment Project to bridge a gap for that need, to get kids back out into the community with their peers during that weird COVID gap. So that's kind of how it started. And we started doing free community events for families, however that family looks for you, just so that people could come out and enjoy a day free of charge, have fun. They don't have to worry about any cost. So we started with a pool party and do that yearly at the Kingston Pool. And we had drinks and snacks and music and games and just some stuff for families to just come out, enjoy, and not worry about anything but being with each other.
What did the moms and dads see in their children that maybe they didn't see prior to coming to that party?
You could tell the joy in the parents' faces being able to bring the kids out. And then the parents that are able to get their kids into the extracurricular activities are just so grateful.
This is all catered to the children, to the youth. So what are some of these positive changes that you see?
One of the biggest things I see was in Kelly's daughter. She started to get involved in theater. And I saw such a change in her. This little kid just lit up and she was herself and she was with people that she could be herself with. And I just saw her be able to kind of come to life.
Whether it's the arts or whether it's sports, mm-hmm. It's something that's different and it's something that's a new challenge for them.
It keeps them in a safe environment. I think the structure is very important for any kid to have.
How do you think it's rubbed off on their parents?
I think that the parents are seeing what we're doing and they love the mission. So we see a lot of volunteers coming out to support their community. So it really brings everybody together. And it just helps everybody as a whole make an impact. Now doing the autism IDD community, we really hope to continue to serve the populations that we need to serve.
And really create a stronger community that's supporting to everyone.
What kind of an umbrella would you put your nonprofit under?
I think an umbrella term would probably be community service, because we really believe that if your community's stronger, then your lives are going to be stronger. And if we see a need, we try to fill it.
Special thanks to Kellyanne Kenny and Nate Arnone, co-founders of the Youth Enrichment Project in Luzerne County. You are more than welcome to hear the rest of the story on our podcast by visiting wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the weekend? Find more stories every day at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss a thing. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.